we have Jake Ward and Dr. Habib Dagher with us from the University of Maine. We're looking forward to an update on the work that previous legislatures helped to move forward, and we're excited to learn more about it. I think some of us were at the MDF tour of your facility not too long ago, so this will be a review for some of us and new information for others. Thank you very much for coming, both of you, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Representative Barry, Senator Woodsum, distinguished members of the committee. It's a great pleasure to be here today and give you an update on the offshore wind program. This has been almost a decade-long effort and of a lot of hard work by hundreds of people here in Maine to get to this point. And the project is called New England Aquaventus 1. What we're looking at is building floating wind turbines that can be placed over the horizon beyond the Gulf of Maine, beyond sites, so 20-plus miles offshore. They could bring energy back to Maine, help reduce costs of energy in the state of Maine in the long run, as well as create jobs along the way. We wouldn't be here without all the hard work that the legislature had started here back in 2008 and until now. So today is a good time to kind of give you an update. Before I get started, I work at the University of Maine. This is the Advanced Structures and Composites Center, which we started in 1996. By the National Science Foundation. It's grown from being an open field to the largest research center at the university in the state of Maine. We have 180 faculty, staff, and students who work there in the lab. It's a 100,000 square foot facility. Since we got started, we financially sponsored over 2,000 students who've worked in this lab and now are in the real world. We have over 14 spin-off companies that came out of the lab from research and technology developed in this laboratory. The lab is a research center within the University of Maine, but over 95% of the funding for this facility comes from outside the state of Maine through research contracts. We work on materials and structures. That's the field of research and development that we do. So we use these materials in buildings and bridges, in offshore structures and so forth. These are our partners and clients from across the world. These are companies or other research centers or institutions that work with us on developing new technologies and products. Even though we're part of the University of Maine, as you see, we expose our students and staff to an international group of companies that contract with us. The center has received some of the top awards in research and development, over 40 national and international awards. One example of this award is recently through the White House. We were down at the White House being recognized as champions for change in the area of transportation because of a technology we developed called the Bridge in a Backpack. This technology got spun off the lab. It's now a business called Advanced Infrastructure Technologies. They've licensed our technology and they've been building bridges using this. These arches, this is a bridge they built in the Belfast area. These arches are 55 feet long. You're looking from under the bridge out into a waterfall. With the bridges above you here. But these black arches you see come in a bag. You can put an arch like that in a hockey bag. You can inflate it, bend it to shape, infuse it with the resin. And within 3 hours, these tubes are twice the strength of steel. And you can fill them full of concrete on site. We've been able to build bridges in less than 2 weeks from the time we shut a bridge down to open a bridge to traffic. About 2 weeks ago, the company we spun off the lab, AIT, signed a marketing agreement with one of the largest construction companies in the world called Terre Armée, which has 22,000 employees in over 100 countries. So this is an opportunity for this technology to be sold, built in Maine, and sold across the world. That's an example of technologies that graduate from our lab and become a business, part of a business. This is the longest composite materials bridge in the world. It was designed by our team, the Maine DOT, and a private company. The bridge is 540 feet long. The gray girders you see supporting the bridge, they're not steel, they're composites. They were made here in Maine by a company that's also a spin-off of our laboratory. The girders are about 70 feet long each to make the 540-foot-long bridge, and they weigh one-sixth the weight of a steel girder. And they're corrosion-resistant. They're designed for 100-year life in that environment. That's examples of technologies developed in this laboratory, in our laboratory, and now has spun off the lab. This is another technology we worked on with Hodgson Yachts in Boothbay Bay Harbor. This is a U.S. Navy SEALs vessel. It's an 83-foot-long high-speed interceptor that goes over 50 knots. The problem with it is currently made out of aluminum. And think about you going 50 knots in an aluminum boat, and you have 4 or 5 foot seas. The wave slamming loads on the hull were causing the seals to have shattered molars and damaged bones in the back and in the legs. So we redesigned the hull out of a shock-absorbing composite, a sandwich structure with carbon fiber that essentially absorbs the wave impacts in the hull and transmits less of it to the occupants of the boat. This boat was built in Maine by Hodgson Defense Composites, a spin-off of Hodgson Yachts, and delivered on time and on budget to the Navy. The largest all-carbon composite hull ever built by the Navy was designed in Maine by UMaine and in a private company in Maine. That's an example of how we partner with companies to create opportunities in the state. But today I'm here to talk, give you an update about our offshore wind project. And I'll start with the cost of energy for a Maine family. We started this program when energy costs were $4 a gallon, if you remember those days, for heating oil and gasoline. At the time, and we all know that even though we're not at $4 a gallon today, I don't see who would raise their hand and say we're not going to get there again. So the question is how do we prevent, if you wish, a sharp increase in the future of energy costs to Maine's population? That's why we embarked on this program. If you look at the cost of energy to a Maine family back at $4 a gallon, and this was a study done by two of our MBA students. The average family in Maine pays roughly about $1,000 in electricity. I rounded these numbers off to remember them easily, but they're about $1,000 for electricity. At $4 a gallon, the average family pays about $4,000 to fill the oil tank in the basement per year. And then the average family in Maine spends about $5,000 a year to fill the tank on the two cars. The average family has about two cars. We're a rural state. We travel more than if you were living in a big city, longer distances. So the average family in Maine at the time was spending $10,000 a year in energy costs. And you compare that to the average family income, which is between $40,000 and $50,000 a year in the state of Maine. That's about 20% of the family income, more than the state taxes that we pay. So and that money leaves the state of Maine. Now, of course, today we're at $2. We're more like closer to $2 a gallon, and so that number's come down, but they're still significant. At $2 a gallon, it's about $5,500 of energy costs for the Maine family. And mind you, the important here is that electricity isn't really the big part of the Maine family costs. It's really heating oil and gasoline. So these are the two villains, if you wish, we need to go after in a strategy in the long run. If you add it all up, the amount of the fuel costs that leave the state of Maine, these are the dollars we pay away from Maine because we don't have fuel in Maine, that's about $6 billion a year at $4 a gallon. That's data from the EIA, Energy Information Administration, for 2013. Think about twice the state budget leaves the state of Maine every year in fuel costs, okay? $6 billion. The state budget, annual budget, is about $3 billion. And the other thing to remember is if heating oil costs or gasoline costs go up by a buck a gallon, that number goes up by $1 billion a year. So we have very little control about that, and that's why we're trying to find a way to reduce that impact on the state in the long run. How much electricity does the state of Maine use? We use about 2.4 gigawatts. We're a summer peaking state. We use the most electricity in the summertime, 2.4 gigs. To put that in perspective, a good-sized nuclear power plant is about 1 gigawatt. That's 2.4 gigawatts.